Welcome to Office Hours, a collaboration of KUST and Tommy Media, where we explore the lessons of our community and the world.
I'm Cassie Vivant.
And I'm Michael Gleason.
The whole team going at one time.
That's right. Thank you. Yeah, no problem.
It is two girls in one day.
Happy Saturday.
Sorry, we're in Minneapolis with St. Thomas student Ben Gation, who is selling fresh fruits and vegetables to a corner store owner for an organization called Brightside Produce.
Seven pounds of banana.
Yes, sir. How much is this?
The clementine bags are $3 for $0.90. So let's see.
$3 for $0.90?
So that, yeah. So like each bag is 90 cents.
Give me about five bags? Yes, sir.
All right, thank you, sir.
Sales of small quantities of produce like these have only begun recently. In 2008, the city of Minneapolis passed an ordinance requiring small corner stores to carry produce. This may sound like a good policy, but it has posed many problems for corner stores. That's where Brightside steps in. Brightside Produce is an organization founded by St. Thomas biology professor Adam Kay, St. Thomas employee Adam Pruitt, and Demetria Fuller. We were able to chat with Adam and Adam in the studio about Brightside and its mission.
Yeah, you can just label us as a group and call us AA.
Double A? Double A?
Yeah, we got
A squared.
Don't forget it.
Yes, so this is Adam Kay. I'm, as you said, an associate professor of biology. I'm also the director of the Social Innovation Collaboratory at St. Thomas, and I co-founded Brightside Produce in 2014. With Adam Pruitt and a couple of other people.
Hello, everyone. This is Adam Pruitt. I got involved with Brightside Produce when I was like 16. Me personally, I am just really into Brightside, and I just recently received a job. I was hired by the University of St. Thomas as a youth intern, and I'm really appreciating it. It's got me running all around campus. And I'm just, you know, your average person. I'm not too picky with anything. Just trying to live life just day by day.
All right, so if I were to ask you guys, what is Brightside Produce? What would you say? What are you guys all about?
Here at Brightside Produce, what we do is we distribute fresh and affordable produce to corner stores and smaller businesses in between North and South Minneapolis.
Ooh, I started along in... We're working with Adam to create Brightside in 2014 when we were sort of independently looking at the issue of trying to get fresh produce into corner stores in lower income neighborhoods. It started for me when I was working with a student on a greenhouse project and we were growing vegetables. And we had been hearing stories on the radio about a program in Minneapolis called the Healthy Corner Stores Initiative.
It required that any stores or businesses that wanted to accept EBT or WIC, they had to stock their shelves with, 30 pounds of fresh produce every week. And for these smaller corner stores, that was a really tough issue because, you know, when you're a small business. Just imagine this. You're a small business and you've got a very low demand on a specific item. However, your corporate, let's say, just per se, your corporate is overstocking you with, let's say, watermelons. And not everybody wants watermelons. So now you've got a lot of waste. And then you're just sitting there like, okay, what do I do with this? Well, that's kind of the situation that the corner stores were faced with because they wanted to be able to go to distributors, but to go to a distributor, typically it's $150 for a minimum order. And I don't know if you guys know of any corner stores that are going to be able to carry that amount of produce and sell it within about a week or so, but I sure don't know of any. And so that being the way that that was, that forced the corner store owners to either A, not be able to accept EBT or WIC, and they lose a large amount of their income, at least for those who are within lower income communities, or they get forced to go to places like Cub or Aldi's, you know, typical grocery stores, and then they go into, let's just say, Cub. Let's use that for an example. So you're a corner store owner, you're walking into Cub, you pay 89 cents for one apple, you bring it back to your store, well, of course, you got to make some money off of it too, right? So now, everyday people like us, we're walking into your store and paying $1.09 or something like that for an apple, which is highly unfair to us as members of the community. And after a while, at a certain point, it also becomes unfair to you because we're eventually going to say, forget that, we can go right down to Cub or Aldi's, or we're just going to say we're not going to get an apple today. And so now you're losing out on sales as far as your produce is concerned. And now you're starting to buy less produce. And then eventually you say, forget it. Now you can't accept EBT or WIC.
It's actually a systematic problem, nationwide problem. And people have been suggesting in the academic literature for years that we need some way of being able to address this situation in a financially sustainable way. And so we were just interested in trying to figure something out, and we contacted the health department in Minneapolis, and they connected us to Adam Pruitt and Demetri Fuller and a couple of other folks that were in the community and thinking about how do we, and Adam and Didi were thinking about the same issue, like how do we solve this problem? How can we make corner stores healthier? And how can we do it in a way that's lasting? And so we came together and started talking, and that's how the model for Brightside Produce emerged.
So what does that model look like?
A business model that purposefully sells in both lower income community and in a higher income community. So how our model works is that we buy produce from a wholesale distributor, sell that to corner stores in small quantities, and then we have excess at the end of that run. We take that excess and we sell it to students, faculty, and staff at St. Thomas who have more buying power.
Is that your main like revenue flows coming from
right.
that? Okay.
Right, exactly, right. So the markup's higher for the faculty, staff, and students and neighbors at St. Thomas for the excess. The markup is higher than what we sell it to the stores, but it's still cheaper than buying it at a grocery store. So it's a win for everybody. But that model where you're purposely selling both in a lower income community and then you're using the fact that you're have this program where you're selling in a lower income community to help attract your customers in the higher income community. We're attracting faculty, staff, and students, and we're saying, hey, participate in that, not just because we have fresh fruits and vegetables, but because by your participation, we're able to make these deliveries to corner stores in lower income neighborhoods. That's the part that I think can be expanded to all sorts of other products and issues.
And when you say you sell it to the St. Thomas community, do you mean you sell it on campus or in local grocery stores?
No, so what we have is a buyer's club, and the buyer's club, people sign up for buying packages of $3, $5, or $10 worth of whatever mix of produce we have left over every week.
I see.
So people, it's sort of like a community-sponsored agriculture, CSA. It's like that model, except for it's grocery store, conventional fruits and vegetables.
And so Brightside comes in as a small distributor that doesn't have that same $150 price requirement?
Right, so that's the key for Brightside is that we're able to deliver small quantities of a variety of fruits and vegetables to these corner stores, and we allow them to pick and choose whatever they would like, the size of order, the different varieties, and they can make those choices on the spot, and they don't have to pre-order, and they can pay with cash, and we'll come by every week regardless of whether they've bought in the previous week or not. And so we can meet their needs, the store needs, and we our prices are really fair. We market up only a small amount over the wholesale price. So small quantities of low cost produce, high quality produce for these stores. That's the service that they needed. And our innovation is that we've been able to do this without grant funding. We've been able to do it in a financially sustainable way. And that's why we think that this is a model that can be scaled up across the Twin Cities and then to other cities across the country too.
Well, the larger issue, right, is food insecurity. I mean, what's like the layman's answer to that question? I mean, what is it for somebody who has no idea,
right,
what that issue is?
Right. It's really access to affordable, healthy food. And, you know, I think sometimes when people talk about food insecurity, they say things like, well, is there a grocery store within a mile of where somebody lives? And that doesn't really capture it, because it kind of depends on people's income levels and people's transportation access. So it could be the case that there's a grocery store within like 3/4 of a mile, but you might have several kids, nobody else to help with taking care of those kids, and then no transportation options, and going to the grocery store under those conditions is a really big deal. And as a result, maybe people go in frequently, and if they're going every 2 weeks, then they're not buying a lot of fresh produce because it's not going to last for 2 weeks. So people often rely on corner stores for access to food. And it's these corner stores that people have pointed to all over the country. Like, how can we improve nutritional conditions within corner stores? Because they're the food infrastructure in lower income neighborhoods. That's what people have easy access to. And if those corner stores are just filled with junk food, then that's what people have access to. And that's what food insecurity means. It's not that there's no calories around. It's just that it's hard to make a healthy choice when the fresh foods aren't that available. And when they are, they're either really expensive or poor quality.
And then that's what the ordinance in Minneapolis is trying to address.
It is. Honestly, it's a top-down approach, right? It's like we make an ordinance that says stores have to meet these conditions, but the stores
can't,
or they don't have an easy way of doing it, so the burden's just placed on them. And that's not a that's a recipe for failure, because the stores are going to resist it, and it's going to. I mean, these stores, they're not evil. They're people trying to make a living, and it's how do you create the conditions such that they can thrive as a business and meet these broader community goals that I think a lot of the store owners are supporting. They're supportive of. They just need it to be something that can work for their business.
And where do you get that produce from? Where does that come from? How do you get it to the stores?
The direct answer is from a wholesale distributor, but the mechanisms by which that comes about is pretty complicated, with lots of different people getting involved in it. We buy from a wholesale distributor, but we also have a team of students and youth working together to make it happen. So there'll be one student who'll be in charge of developing what the order is going to be for the week, and then there'll be another student that'll go pick up the order, and then there'll be other students and youth that help organize it, and then there's a delivery route that happens that has students and local youth partnering together.
We had a chance to go on part of one of those runs with St. Thomas student Ben Cation and Minneapolis youth volunteer Nick Hodge.
We started our day off at the Loon Grocery and Deli in Minneapolis.
Five of absolutely everything. Lettuce, iceberg, and romaine, and then 5 green peppers. Oh man, right now, after he's placed his order, I run the calculations of, you know, how much each variety and the quantities they are in will cost, put it on the receipt, while Nick, or whoever the Brightside partner is working with me, puts together the order. As soon as I get the receipt done, I'll normally help them with that, and then we bring the produce in, make sure they've seen it and they know the quality is good and the quantities are correct.
Correct. And then I hand them the receipt. They give us the money. We put it in the money bag, and we head off to the next store.
Yeah, some stores actually don't buy it in some weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
because they still have it from the week before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really that, or
just
you know,
is what it is.
Like one day, they can buy zero produce 1 week. Next week, buy up the whole freaking supply.
On the way to the stores, I chatted with Nick and Ben about their experiences with Brightside.
We're doing this virtually every Saturday.
Yeah. And it seems like you knew some of the guys who were there. Do you think that, you know, it personally impacts these, like, stores and communities, what you
no
guys
doubt.
Do?
No doubt. Yeah. I've heard, first, I personally develop a relationship with each of the store owners just because I see them every Saturday. It'd be weird if you didn't joke around with them. And talk, whatever, mostly soccer, frankly, but there's also I've heard from people, which is really heartwarming, that they prefer to get it from us, even their personal groceries from us, because they believe in our mission and want to support, you know, the Brightside team.
Yeah.
Because we're doing a good thing, so.
Yeah.
There's a lot of loyalty in our customer base, which we're very fortunate to have.
Yeah, and you mentioned what the mission of Brightside is. What do you think the mission is?
Well, we employ local Minneapolis youth, e.g. Nick here, to deliver affordably priced produce to underserved communities in North and South Minneapolis. So typically low-income neighborhoods that are called food deserts because they don't have access to healthy food.
Yeah.
And we, you know, deliver in the quantities and varieties that corner stores need and can afford, so that even if you don't live next to a grocery store or within the vicinity of a grocery store, you can get your fruits and vegetables from the local gas station or the local halal shop or deli or stores of that nature, you just regular corner store. So that's not something anybody else, to my knowledge, does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. Are you guys, do you go to St. Thomas? Or
I do, yeah.
You go to St. Thomas?
Mm-hmm.
You're a senior? Mm-hmm. And you're from Minneapolis around here?
Not at all, no. I mean, I've lived in St. Paul my entire life.
Well, I heard about Brightside through my cousin Adam, who's a coordinator now.
Oh, yeah.
For Brightside. He brought me on just saying, like, hey, Nick, you want to do this? You're not really doing anything, so why not? And so I started Brightside about 2 years ago now.
Okay.
So when I was, like, 16.
Yeah.
And it's definitely transformed some neighborhoods because being able to have fruits and veggies at your local corner store is really nice and definitely helps out with some families.
What do you think it has been your biggest takeaway? What have you learned or gotten from it, do you think?
My biggest takeaway from Brightside is getting to know the problem better.
Yeah.
Like, not many people have pointed out this problem, especially in, like, the area. And for Brightside to basically announce a problem and attack it head-on the way that we do, that's definitely great.
That was pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, I had a lot of fun. It was a beautiful day.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, trying to follow Ben when he was driving was a little bit of an adventure at times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he's aggressive, but he's bold.
Yeah, I actually got to ride in with them, and the driving was indeed crazy. Just kidding. But it was actually really cool to be in the van with them and hear like the stories behind them and get their perspective on delivering the food.
Yeah, it was really cool to see it like in action. Like talking about it, it sounded pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But then going out there and actually seeing like the relationships that they're forging with these store owners, and I mean I expected it, but the magnitude of it was surprising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think like going into it, I didn't think that it was the same person going on this run every time, so I didn't really think that those relationships with the store owners would be there. But realizing that it's them going out every week and talking to these store owners every week made me realize that how close they probably are with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just seeing for real like how much they're helping these people, like looking at the halal market, they had that really small vegetable display, not really small, but I mean the minimum wholesale order would be way too much for them, and just coming in and having that perfect amount of, and maybe not perfect, but a much better amount of produce, seeing it happening in real life was really it was a great compliment to our chat with the Adams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think like going on the run made me realize that like it's not only impacting the stores and the community, it's also like impacting the people who are working. Like I know that Nick said, kind of went on to say how these leaders of Brightside kind of impact the youth that are working with them, making mm-hmm. an impact in their lives.
Yeah. That was a conversation I missed trying to follow Ben around. Anyway, now it was cool. The weather was great. We got to try the food. It's pretty good. Join the buyer's club for sure.
We got to try the apples. They're yeah. pretty good.
Good apples.
10 out of 10.
9. I give it a 9. I have a pretty high standard for apples. Anyway. We kept talking to Adam and Adam, so let's go back down to the studio. And here's Adam Pruitt.
I mean, everybody knows their role. Everybody does what they're supposed to do. Like for the students, some things that are gained by the students, I mean, they get to experience real life situations that they might not experience in their everyday lives at home or just being around or on campus. You know, you're not gonna see what might happen in, you know, the lower income parts of North or South Minneapolis or really, you know, wherever. For Brightside being able to move forward, just trying to figure out the logistics and everything. Like actually right now we're working with the MBA course over in the Minneapolis campus, and we're working with them. They're helping us figure out how to get things to run as efficiently as possible and the best ways for us to just do the things that we need to do to keep the business running. And it's very helpful for them because now it's kind of like hands-on. They really, you know, it's not the
learning opportunity. Yeah.
Well, exactly. It's not the teacher saying, okay, class, we've got Johnny, and Johnny runs a business, and he sells pants and stuff. It's not, you know, just some chalkboard model. It's real life. Like, there's really a story behind what's going on. There's really people who are participating as a moving component of this larger picture. For me and the rest of the youth side of the team, I know I speak on all of our behalves when I say this, it's an enriching process for us because we get to, some of us never really had the option to have a support network growing up. I know I really didn't have that option, and it's really nice to know that I have a really decent amount of people that are behind me, and I know that the other youth feel the same way, because we've all had issues that we've brought to Adam or, you know, some students or another faculty or staff member, and we've confronted them and said, you know, look, this is what we've got going on. What can we do about this? Could you help us? How do we go about doing this? You know, my cousin Nicholas, who's a part of the Brightside program.
The Nicholas he's referring to is the same one we just heard moments ago. Anyway, back to Adam Pruitt.
He had his ACT tests coming up, and he didn't really have the materials to study for it. He didn't, you know, like, he just wanted some help. He needed that support for him to be able to study, and he really wanted to have a good grade for it, and he felt like he couldn't do it by himself. So he reached out, and mm-hmm. he talked to Adam and a couple of the students who are also working with Brightside, and he started working. You know, he started working with
Patrick Brennan.
Yeah. Yep. He started working with him on the ACTs, and he actually got a really good score on his ACT due to that. And I personally really appreciate the faculty, staff, and student side of everything that we do, because they're here for us and they're really helpful, they're really resourceful, and not only are we learning from them, but they're learning from us, and it's a really nice experience all the way around for everybody.
So it sounds like it's about a lot more than fruit and vegetables.
No, it's interesting, because I think in some ways what we've done is we've proved the concept. Like, this can be done. Here is a way of doing it. And we have some guiding principles on it, that the way of being able to address this issue, which I think is generalizable, is the being able to create connections between people. Connections, like, so our connections are between the youth and university students. That's really powerful. And then the connection between the lower income community and then the St. Thomas community. The fact that we sell vegetables to corner stores, and then we sell the excess to the people on campus with some buying power. And we just live in such a segregated world, and programs, businesses that can form connections across those divisions, like, that's the way forward. Mm-hmm. And so what we've done is we've shown how you can create a financially sustainable business for being able to meet this community need. Now we just have to scale it up. And so we're working hard on getting the students and the structure together that allows us to do that. So I think at this point, our impact is, we're satisfied with it, but there's way more that we can do, both here and in cities all over the country. So we're excited about the future.
We actually are in the process of getting a Brightside business model set up down at the University of San Diego. We've been in close conversation with them for quite some time now.
Slight correction here. Brightside is not working with the University of San Diego, but with San Diego State University. Go Aztecs. Back to Adam.
And we're just getting all the pieces put together so that we can get it started. We're hoping to have a run up and running by what, spring?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by springtime. So if that can work, then that kind of, it'll kind of give us the hot seat of being able to say, you know, well, if we can make this business model work here in Minnesota, as cold as it gets here, and down in San Diego, as hot as it might get down there, you know, we can kind of make it work anywhere within the United States. So this business model, as far as this issue is concerned, yes, it's highly expandable across the U.S. That's what we believe, but we won't truly know until springtime.
But then the question of, like, is the model generalizable to other issues is really fascinating. And I think that's something that the university, all of us can come together and to explore that. Like, can we think about other social businesses that create revenue by selling things in higher income communities, but then purposefully sell in lower income communities, and use the sales in the lower income communities to attract customers in the higher income communities. That would be interesting to see if we can do that with other products.
I guess one question I have is, have you guys seen anything else like this? Like, I'm wondering, is there any other like organizations like that help this issue?
Currently, to our knowledge, no. We have never come across anything that is like what we're doing right now. We haven't heard of anything that we know of within the country or within the world. And we kind of figure that we are the only thing like this, because we feel like we would have known or found out if there was something else like this when we participated in the Aspen Idea Awards Festival. But
nobody still, came up know. And was like, hey, yeah, we're doing that too.
Right. No one was like, yeah, we do the same thing. You guys are cool, but, you know, we're cool. Let's do it together. Yeah. No, you know, we never got that. So, yeah, to our knowledge, we're the only ones.
But at the same time, I think that we're the only ones with this specific business model. But
yeah,
there are really great local and national organizations that are trying to address this sort of larger issue of food insecurity. There's a lot of organizations in North Minneapolis and in St. Paul that are promoting gardening, healthy living, eating healthy, and they're just doing tremendous work, and there's a lot of energy about that in the Twin Cities, and that makes our work a lot easier because there's a lot of buy-in from community members already. We're one step, right? I mean, yeah. We're one piece of it. It's like we think we can meet the fruit and vegetable demands of corner store owners, and this way of doing it is a way of bringing that about. But it's just one piece. It's one piece because now we can work on building demand among the local community for produce in those stores, then we can have more of the store allocated towards fruits and vegetables, and we can get them to buy more from us. And then maybe at some point, the community's so organized around fruits and vegetables that the stores can actually support buying from those traditional distributors and getting those big minimum orders. And if that's then the case, great, we can move on to the next challenge somewhere else.
The magnitude of the problem is great, but we're an organization that proves that there's something that can be done about that.
Take four.
Thanks for listening to Office Hours. We'd like to thank Adam Kay and Adam Pruitt for talking to us, and Ben Cation and Nick Hodge for letting us tag along on their run. Office Hours is produced by Matthew Jedlowski and Cassie Vivant.
And Michael Gleason. Special thanks to our advisor, John Keston. Office Hours are Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. at www.mixlr.com/KUST-radio or by appointment anytime at TommyMedia.com.